On line, I should have David Hall from New Beginnings. Good morning, David.
Good morning, how are you?
How are you this morning?
Good, now.
Okay, now, New Beginnings is a fairly new organisation. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it, David?
Yeah, New Beginnings was established last November, 12 months, with its primary focus was arranging representation for people who were facing repossession of the family homes before the courts. So that was its primary objective. Last November, 12 months, was to arrange legal representation, solicitor and barrister, for people who are before the courts facing losing their family home. And it came with a very significant proviso that was there's no guarantee that somebody would not lose their home. This was just a, in order to restore dignity. So if someone was facing the court process, they weren't facing the court process alone, and they weren't facing the court process unrepresented. Which is obviously very, very, very important. Now, since then, the real problem is debt, and it's all about debt. And we've been advocating on behalf of all of those people who are in difficulty with their mortgages and other debts in relation to looking for new insolvency laws and looking for some system from which this debt can be restructured to allow the economy and allow ourselves as a nation get back to normality. You know.
Okay, and I'm just reading here, there's 70 solicitors and barristers offering their services free of charge, and several economists and business people all offering their services free of charge.
That's the team is a full voluntary team, providing administration, negotiation, and legal and economic advice. So it's a full team, that's, as I say, that all the services are provided free of charge.
Okay, so you'll speak to people, and then will you speak to, say, banks on their behalf, or what way does it work?
The initial sort of access to New Beginning is when legal proceedings are issued against you. So if the bank have written to you legally from the behalf of the solicitor, or the solicitor has written on behalf of the bank, indicating that they're coming to recover their full debt, it's from that stage on is where we get involved. We are now in the process, and have been for the last month or two, trying to look at establishing a secondary service, which would be a sort of a semi-commercial based service, maybe on an not-for-profit basis, where we would look at exactly as you just outlined, negotiating on behalf of people with the banks before any legal proceedings issue. Because with legal proceedings issue, things have come a long way. They've come to a sort of an end, and they've come to a bad stage from a relationship perspective as well as everything else. But there most certainly, with the upcoming insolvency legislation, is a huge need for people and for borrowers to have professional and expert representation, not just legally when it gets to court, but financially and from an advocacy perspective, and to negotiate with the banks on their behalf. That's something that probably, I'd say, within the next month to 6 weeks, we should probably have an announcement on, but it's something we're giving serious consideration to, because there's a huge gap there. To allow people to have a service there to rebalance the power, because the bank has all the power, and with a very powerful organisation like the banks, the borrower has great difficulty trying to effect any good negotiation on their behalf. So we I think watch this space in relation to that area.
Okay, well, I'll keep an eye on that, and we'll talk to you again when you do make that announcement. You're dealing with banks, are you getting much cooperation from the banks?
It's like everything. The banks are very big organisations. I think we're establishing a relationship with the banks that's a professional, respectful relationship. But the banks know what our function and our role is, and that is to protect the borrower as best we can. We won't, protect somebody for the sake of it if someone is not being honest and truthful in relation to the position. We won't involve ourselves in anyone who does that. But there are some banks that are reasonable. There are others who are completely unreasonable, and unfortunately, they have not woken up to the significant problem that exists. They may know about it, they may think they know about it, but from a solutions perspective, they haven't actually been as active. The Banking Federation will quote various figures saying they've restructured 76,000 mortgages. Yeah, but the central bank will say half of those mortgages are still in arrears. So even having to have the mortgage restructured, they would say that half of those restructured mortgages are in arrears. So there's 107,000 people now in arrears on the mortgage out of, 800,000 people who have mortgages. So it's a very significant number. It's a very, stark reality. And there are other debts as well, apart from the mortgage debt. The mortgage debt seems to be one that tries to get covered as best they can, because families are petrified of losing their home. There are other debts, utility bills, and companies now reporting record levels of debt. So this is a huge problem, and it is all about debt. And therefore, the insolvency legislation, hopefully coming out in the next number of weeks, may not enact until the end of the year, but the draft bill at least gives some level of a backstop for borrowers, because they have no protection at this moment in time. If you borrow the money, you owe the money, and the courts are a very cold place, and this will not be resolved in the courts.
Okay, could you just explain some about this insolvency bill, just for our listeners?
The insolvency bill has sort of four levels to it. The first level is a debt relief certificate for people, which are very few and far between, who don't have a job, don't have any assets, and owe, say, unsecured monies below €20,000. Not a huge category, and a lot of journalists have been trying to find people who might avail of that category, and it seems to be a very difficult category. The next one, then, is a debt settlement arrangement, which would be for debts above €20,000 that are unsecured, such as credit cards, household bills, credit union, car loans, and that would be an arrangement. Once the creditors accept the arrangement, they have to, 65% of the creditors must accept an arrangement where you make a payment, an agreed payment, over 5 years. And after making the agreed payment each month over 5 years, the balance of the debt, whatever the negotiated amount is written off. So if you owe 100,000, you may end up paying 30,000 over 5 years, and 70,000 is written off. The third level then is a heavier one, where it comes into the household debt, where it comes into a personal insolvency arrangement, where you're effectively negotiating with the bank and as a secured creditor and all of your household bills combined, doing a similar arrangement as the previous one, which is a payment every month for 5 years, or 6 years, or 4 years, whatever the negotiated amount is. But after those payments are concluded by negotiation, the balance of the debt, whatever that is gone. Now, with this one, two things can happen. One is you may lose your home, or as part of the negotiation is you stay in your home. And the fourth level then is the nuclear button, which is the one which is bankruptcy. And the current bankruptcy rules at the moment would be, you know, you're eligible to be released from bankruptcy after 12 years. The new legislation proposal is that you would be released after 3 years, but an additional 5 years will be added if you're deemed to be uncooperative or untruthworthy. Now, that's a draft bill. Normally, with draft bills, 95% of them transfer to legislation. So that's something we're waiting to see what the actual final outcome is. But with those four levels of insolvency arrangements, that gives the borrower some negotiation, because if Mary and Joe have no money and they have significant amounts of debt, there's no point in putting themselves through anguish and trying to hassle with a bank when they don't have any income. They would be better off availing of maybe the bankruptcy or the personal insolvency arrangements there, and saying to a bank, look, let's come up with an arrangement that's honest and fair, and if it suits. If it doesn't, I'm not going to argue with you for the next 2 years. I will have no option but to declare myself bankrupt. So there is a backstop there for borrowers, and over the next 6 to 8 weeks, we should hopefully see what it looks like in its final form.
So that'll be about 6 to 8 weeks. Will it go into legislation, or will it be down for discussion?
No, it's already been down for discussion, and we were in to present on behalf, on front of the Justice Committee. They've made recommendations to the Minister. So the next 6 to 8 weeks, we should have its final form. It won't be law maybe until later in the year, until it gets passed after the summer, but its final version will be available. And that will really kickstart discussions at banks, because everyone will see clearly this is what's coming down the line. This is now going to be law in a number of months' time. So let us negotiate and deal on the strength of us having this insolvency law. And the banks are squirming around. They don't like this. This is not pleasant and not nice for them.
No.
This covers debts up to 3 million. From 20,000 up to 3 million, they've tried to have this reduced to 1 million. They just simply don't want this. This is not good for banks, and it is as good as it gets for borrowers, given where we've come from.
Yeah, no, that's why I asked you earlier, where you're getting cooperation from the banks. The banks just want their money, and the end of story.
And that's their job. You know, bank is a bank, and they'll only ever look for the money. They'll attempt to bleed you what they can. That's what like. And people have to remember that with all the decisions that have been made in relation to the banking world, for a bank to get back to profitability, such as AIB or Bank of Ireland or Permanent TSB or any of the state-owned banks, for them to get back to profitability, they must screw you and they must screw me. There's no other way they can do it.
Yeah,
they don't do the lotto. So therefore, they have to get fees. And the only way they can get fees is to charge the rest of us.
Okay. So listen, this whole thing now is really down to negotiation.
It's all down to negotiation.
Yeah, you're only Joe Soap now. would be afraid of going into a bank and talking to an economist or something like that. So this is where you come in.
Yeah, and that's the service we're looking at now, which would be, you know, a service that obviously would require a fee, simply because in order to do the borrower a justice, we need to make sure that we're doing this thing properly. But we believe this is down to numbers as well. The larger the number, you know, it's like any service that's out there at the moment. If you're going to have your car service, you want to have a service with a guy who does 100 of these servicing a year. You don't want to do it with a guy who's got two. So from our perspective, you know, there's a major advantage to the borrower by having skilled negotiators dealing with volumes of people where they know the pattern, how the bank operates, how the bank works, and what the best way of getting the best deal is. The bank is going to know that if I go into a bank representing you, that they'll already know that I've been in the day before representing five others. So I'm aware of how they structure themselves, how they look at deals, and therefore the best deal, we believe, in a volume perspective, can be passed on to borrowers. And, you know, the big difference of going in saying, I'm in to represent Johnny, versus I'm in to represent Johnny, but as you know, there's 50,000 more behind me. Yeah. And there needs to be every effort made to rebalance the imbalance of power that exists now between the borrower and the banks.
Well, the figures are something else. I'm just reading here, you're dealing with 210 people facing repossession. Up until the last quarter to December 2011, 3,000 people are in the legal process for repossession, and a further 9,500 have received the final letter of demand. This is...
No, they're huge numbers. And again, the normal statistics that are quoted when people quote figures, they only quote how many repossessions there's been. But, you know, it's important to say that there are a number of the lawyers who had a major case last year, one of whom obviously presents on your radio station as well, Andrew.
Yeah, yeah.
Robinson. So they had a major case last year, the lawyers. And, this is a very, very serious case that was taken. And it has now delayed the process on behalf of borrowers where there was a loophole found, a lacuna, as the judge referred to it as. Justice Dunn gave her ruling. That decision is being appealed to the Supreme Court. But it has slowed down repossessions. There's absolutely nothing sure that it has slowed down repossessions. You know, some will say some of the banks have shown forbearance. Yes, they have. But the real reason that the repossession figures have reduced is, one, it's not attractive. Two, there's a legal loophole that's been identified by Andrew Robinson and a number of other lawyers who had a major case called the Gunn case. And, you know, that is really the main reason that banks have not acted as quickly and as aggressively in relation to repossessions. But the figures you've quoted are the ones everyone forgets about. They're the figures that are recorded by the central bank as to how many legal proceedings are in being and how many letters of final demand. The letter of final demand is the ultimate letter before legal proceedings issue, where they're demanding full payment of all of the debts. So they will always quote the small number of repossessions, but those repossession numbers are small for a number of reasons, and one of the main reasons is the lacuna that was identified by Andrew and others in relation to the law that has now delayed the repossessions. And that's the single biggest advantage, and that allows for negotiation as well, because that means that if a bank wants to repossess a home that's affected under this decision that was made, it becomes very difficult and much longer to do.
Okay, well, listen, it's a great organisation, you're doing great stuff, and I have your work cut out for you. I mean, you're probably inundated with cases, etc., etc. But do you want to give out phone numbers, websites?
Yeah, the website, the best way of contacting where all of the communication emails come in is through the website, which is www.newbeginning.ie. No S. www.newbeginning.ie. And there's a questionnaire there if you can complete, or an email that can come in. As I say, priority now is being given for those who are facing repossession, but over the coming months, the focus of the website will change towards, because the majority of people, because of the work that's been done by providing representation and finding loopholes and providing a defence to people where there is a defence. And there isn't always a defence, unfortunately. The law is there that says if you borrow money, you owe the money. But, you know, the majority of inquiries and difficulties people are having now really is in relation to general debt as opposed to legal proceedings. So that's an area that we're having a very clear focus on at the moment.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add, David?
No, that's it. It's a great team. As I say, it's a team made up of a variety of people with various skill sets. And, you know, it's a very, very important service. It's it's an essential service for people to give to people some, and also, you know, to keep a little bit of manners on the banks as well. But it's a very, very essential service. And as I say, it's a very wide ranging team between solicitors, barristers, myself and others who are in business and do the administration and negotiations as economists, you know, apprentice solicitors, apprentice barristers. So it's a very, very good team, and an amazing energy that's there at the moment, and their focus is very clear, that is to ensure that the borrower gets representation, and they may be for the high jump, they may lose their home, and we do represent people who lose their home. There's no guarantee you won't lose your home, but you'll do so with dignity, you'll do so represented, and you'll do so with your head held as high as you can.
Okay, it's a huge undertaking, and well done. That's all I can say. And if there's anything I can do or Near FM can do, if there's anything you want to get out there, you have my number.
Yeah.
And thank you very, very much for coming
on
this morning.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, David. Thank you. Bye-bye.